and I'm going to jump right in. I don't want to take a lot of your time. We're going to use as a text this morning, but Psalms 146, verses 1 and 2. Somebody got an email. I last Sunday we started a short series that I on worship, praise and worship, and I titled it When Worship Dies. And we talked a little bit about this last Sunday. I don't want to go over it too much. If you didn't hear it, you can grab a CD from Jim and get this information. We talked a little bit about how praise and worship has really changed over the last, 20 to 30 years. And changed not necessarily for the better. We have a lot of praise and worship out there right now. We can go and you can get on iTunes or wherever you get your music from right now, and it seems like everybody's putting out praise and worship music. Every church has to have a praise and worship CD. Everybody's doing all of this praise and worship, but there's not a lot of real praise and worship taking place. And so just to kind of remind you a little bit about some of the things we talked about, and I pointed out to you that one of the places that you can really hear where we have a problem is what happens when one song ends. It seems like the song ends and the praise ends. The next song starts, and oh, we know what to do. And I was really encouraged today. I was keeping my ears open to you guys today, and I was encouraged because Brazzy was ending songs, and you know what, Braz? I heard people praising the Lord. I heard people pushing through, pressing on. Praise and worship is not something that is about being watched. And that's another thing that we see a lot of taking place in a lot of services. There's this transference of what used to be praise and worship was from the pew. Now we've moved it up to the stage. And you know what? I love our music, but that's a tool. Now, those musicians may be worshiping the Lord through their how they're playing, but you know what? They can't worship for us. So, you know what? Nathan's putting those big beats down, and Phyllis is getting some nice runs going, and Connie's playing, and B's over there giving us those melodies. That's a blessing. But we can't look at that and say, okay, we're praising and worshiping through them. No, they are just an instrument. God uses them as an instrument to help us enter into his presence. Now, I want to stop there because I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to rehash all of last Sunday's message. The one thought that has really been in my heart over this week, and I've been practicing it more myself, was the one that I shared with you about, let's stop singing songs about God and go back to singing songs to God. Okay? We need to sing songs to him, not just sing songs about him. When we sing songs to him, you can have the worst voice, you can sing three keys off of the one that you're supposed to be on, you can be offbeat, you can be whatever, but you know what? If you're making a joyful noise because you're singing to God, you know what happens? God shows up. Here is the reason that praise and worship is so vital to our meetings and to your personal everyday life. Praise is the incense that draws the Holy Spirit. Hear me again. It is the incense that draws the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit doesn't show up in our meetings, we just had a nice little meeting, and we can all go home. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, now things start to happen. And I'm not talking about some of the crazy things that people, people barking like dogs and, helicopter twirls all through the building. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about life-changing and a life-changing experience. I'm talking about you walking in with one issue and you walking out with it gone. Walking in depressed, leaving with that thing out of your mind. Walk in with a broken marriage, leave with it on its way to restoration. Not because anything that you did, but because the Holy Spirit showed up. Why is it that we read about the Old Testament or the New Testament church and all of these miracles were taking place? When was the last time any of us really saw a legitimate miracle? We all go silent because probably in reality, maybe we've seen some things along the way and we've had some personal experience, but I will be the first one to tell you, I've never seen blinded eyes open. I've never seen the dead raised, but yet I've seen it in my Bible, so I know that it can happen. Paul, how would you have liked to have been in that service when the kid fell out of the window? He falls out of the window. He's dead on the ground. And what does Paul do? Goes down, prays for him, says, get up and get in there. Well, I'm not done preaching. Boy, they were operating on a whole different level of something. But I just want to say this. I feel in my heart to encourage you, God's not done with the church yet. God, go ahead. God's not done with the church yet. And my Bible says that the latter rain is going to be even greater than the one that came first. We aren't there yet. But I believe that if we can stay focused and we can grab a hold of some principles and remember what we're supposed to be about. The church is supposed to be about a place to praise and worship the Lord. It's not supposed to be about a place that we just show up waiting to get something from God, waiting to get mine. No, it's about, I'm here. I love that song that we ended up. I surrender. I give myself away. I give myself away. So what? So he can use me. Not so that he can give me a new car. So he can give me a bigger house. No, I give myself away so that he can put me wherever he needs to. Oh, I'm totally off track today, but you pray for me so I can get back to where I need to go. Today is going to be more of a Bible study, all right? I was sharing this with my father over dinner the other day, and Joy and Barbara and Rosemary. And we had a wonderful time at dinner, and it was so good to see them. And but one of the things that I believe is this, is that 30 years ago, there was a lot of teaching done on praise and worship. I remember a lot of it. And we were taught. We were taught how to praise and worship the Lord. Now it seems like there is an assumption that everybody knows it. And that just because you've been in a service, you know how to praise and worship the Lord. And you know what it's about. And you know why it's important. And I was talking to some colleagues of mine. And I was saying this to them. I said, you know, a lot of the old school things that we built our churches on, we've got to go back and we've got to reteach this stuff. We can't just assume that everybody knows how to do it. Because, you know, we've got a few people over here and a few people over here that it's just going to be, you know, you're going to learn by osmosis. You're just going to understand all the principles of it. You know, there are some real basic fundamental principles of the Christian faith that we just generation after generation after generation after generation, we've got to go back to them. Because we got to teach the young so that as they grow old, they understand what to do. And then when they get to a certain place, we teach it again because there's another generation that's coming up. How does the church get lost in this stuff? We stop teaching it and we just assume that everybody knows. And when we assume that everybody knows, that's when stuff starts to creep in. And the cobwebs start to form in our church doors and all sorts of things like that. And what happens is we stop having these powerful, effective meetings. I believe that the service, the meeting of God's people should be powerful. It should be effective. My pastor told me years ago, he says, you have no room for an ineffective service. He said, you don't have room for an ineffective service. He said, you don't have any idea what's going on in the lives of the people. And you show up and you're not ready to minister and you're mute and the worship isn't full of the Holy Spirit and people walk out and they go out and kill themselves because why? God wanted to change their life and save them, but you were ineffective. That's a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to each other to be ready to worship and praise the Lord because God wants to show up. So, here's a little text I want to work from. This will just kind of be the framework. This scripture's been touching me all week. Praise the Lord. Let all, I like that, all that I am. We could just stick there for hours. All that I am, praise the Lord. Meditate on that one a little bit this week. All that I am. I will praise the Lord when? As long as I live. And I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Now, as I said to you, this is going to be a bit of a Bible study. This may not be so much about shouting and yeehaw and all sorts of stuff, but I want to teach you guys some things. Last week, I mentioned to you that depending on the translation you work from, the word praise is mentioned 299 times in the Bible. 299 times. But of those 299 times, we have to break it down. Now, in the English language, although it is one of the more difficult languages to learn, according to people who study language, it also has a lot of limitations because we will use one word to encompass many meanings. Other languages may have that one word that we try to box them all in, and they'll have different versions of it because they mean different things. A classic example of this is the old Hebrew. In Hebrew, the word praise has seven different meanings. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write this down because this is some good stuff that we're going to be covering today. There are seven different meanings for the word praise. I will say this about them. All seven require a demonstration. They require participation. Praise is very personal. Praise requires you to do something. You go through the scriptures over and over and you see this. I will lift my voice. I will praise his name. I will worship the Lord. There's absolutely nothing prideful in that statement. That is not a prideful statement. That is a requirement. God is saying, I can't worship myself. I require you to. So the psalmist would write, I am going to do this. Every one of us has to take that same approach. I am going to be a worshiper of the Lord. Let's go ahead and hit the first one. And excuse my Hebrew. I'm working on it. As I said, there are seven different references to the word praise. The first one is this, yada, okay? Here, let me give you a spelling if you're taking notes. Y-A-D-A-H. Now, what does this mean? This means to show reverence or praise. How? With extended hands. With extended hands. Psalms 42, verse 5 would say this, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. What he is saying, I shall again lift my hands to him and my salvation. This word picture, it's associated with the root word for the type of praise as in shooting an arrow or in throwing a rock. It literally means to extend the hands or to shoot an arrow. Now, everybody in this room, do this. Lift your hands. Now, why is this important in praise? How many of you had children? Anybody here have kids? What happens? You remember when they were babies? How do they come to you? Why? Daddy, pick me up. Mommy, help me. What does this mean? It means I need you. Whew. Just felt God in that. I need you. when the psalmist is writing this, he's saying, hope in God. How many of you have ever reached a place where you felt hopeless and felt despair and felt like, my God, I just can't even do this. And the psalmist is saying, hope in God. In your hopeless moment, do what? Praise him by lifting your hands to him. This sign of surrender in our services, when we worship the Lord, you were just saying, I surrender. How do I surrender? The police ask us to lift our hands when we surrender. God expects us to lift our hands and surrender. Now, I don't want to get all technical with you, like there's certain hand positions that you need to have. You know, I personally find this one a little bit hard. I've watched people praise like this. I sort of surrender, but don't get too close. I want to say something to you real quickly about praise and worship. One of the reasons that I believe that we're struggling in this goes back to the age-old problem of pride. Everybody's afraid of looking silly. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. It's one of the reasons why I would suggest to you this. When we come into a service, when we come into our meeting, if we are all worshiping the Lord, then you know what? We're all in the same place of silliness. We're all in the same place of need. So this first one, to yada, to the Lord, is to lift our hands to him by extending our hands as a sign of surrender. And you know what? I like this part too. As a desire to be held. I'm a grown man, almost 48 years old. But I still have a desire to be held. I still need comfort. And you know what? Listen to me here. I love my wife dearly. But there are levels of comfort that she will never be able to give me. And if I try to require of her that she gives it to me, I will break her. And there's this comfort, you can be in a situation, and you know what? Some people don't have the greatest of marriages, and they're in a struggle. You know what? You can still be held. Some of us may be single, and you know what? Where am I going to get that comfort? You can be held by your God. Let's keep moving. Here's the next one. Tudah. Now, this one is very similar to the first word. And Tudah, for you that are spelling, is T-O-W-D-A-H. Okay? T-O-W-D-A-H. It is very similar to the first word that we just dealt with. But it has a slightly different flavor and tone. Okay? Here it is. It means to show agreement with by extending the right hand. In today's society, the closest thing we have to this is a handshake to seal a deal or a pact. Now, I'm going to show you something why this is important and why this reference to praise is out there. Psalms 50:23 says this, whoever offer praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct upright, I will show the salvation of the Lord. Now, and I was thinking about this week, and I was trying to visualize what this would mean in worship. You know, is it like this? I believe that this particular form of worship is part of your worship experience, but it's very important because what it is you coming into agreement with God. What does it mean that you're coming into agreement with God? I'm going to put it down to one thing. His promises. His promises. When I am in worship and tudah, I am, in a spiritual sense, I am taking the hand of God and I am praising him and coming into agreement with his promises for my life. Irregardless of what I can see with my eyes or feel with my heart, I'll tell you what, this is one that will be really important in dark days. This is a form of praise that you need to get a hold of and understand in your dark days. When the doctor's report comes back negative, or the finances just aren't there, or whatever, you need to know what God's word says. See, here's that circle of life that keeps going around. If you don't know what his promises are, you can't grab his hand and come into agreement with him. But once you know what the promises are, you just point him back to his word and say, I'm agreeing with you, God. I'm agreeing with you, God. Man, that's powerful. Because that takes the pressure off of you, and it puts it where it belongs, which is on your Heavenly Father, who sometimes you just need to be held by. Can't take just the pieces out of this that you want. Your Bible, get into it. Live in it. Know what's in there. You can't circle his promises if you don't know what those promises are. And if you're new to the faith, there are all sorts of resources that are available. You go on the internet today and type this into a Google search, the promises of God. And you will get scripture after scripture after scripture about his promises. And maybe that's where you start. You just start reading some of them, writing them down on a piece of paper. I've known people through the years that would take certain promises of God and that they would find in scripture that were really pertinent to their life, and they'd write them down and they'd stick it on the mirror. So that would be the first thing or the last thing they'd read before they'd go off to work. Because God's word brings you life. And then you just grab his hand and you come into agreement with him. Let's move on to the next one. This is the third reference to praise in the Old Testament, and it is Barak, spelt B-A-R-A-K. We find this in Psalms 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. This is most commonly seen in the altar. It means to kneel down. It means to bow low as a sign of adoration and reverence. It carries with it the idea of humbling ourselves to a place that's lower than the one that you worship. Now, some people would say, you're just going through motions. I can humble myself in my heart, you know. I'm bowing in my heart. And I want to come back to something I said to you last week about praise and worship. And I go back to my pastor, who would look at the church and he'd say, no, you got to open your mouth and say something. Pastor Symbol, he'd say, you got to open your mouth and you got to say something. You know, this meditative, frug state of, no, that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for us to, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. And what seems to be nothing to somebody else is you're just going through the motions by bowing. No, if in your heart you know why you're getting to your knee. See, it's a heart thing. When you know that you come down on your knees, oh, God, I feel you right now, Lord. Whew. Just that simple. I need you. You're the great God. You're everything, oh God. You mean it all. Something about that humbling ourselves, kneeling before the Lord. You know, I don't like to kneel. It hurts my knees. But you know, there's times that God just says, get down on your face. Put your face to the ground. Be like Moses. Don't look at me. Just let the presence of the Lord come. the things that we can do to humble ourselves. It's about your heart. It's always going to be about our heart. If I'm here to put on a show, if I run down to the altar and I throw myself on the altar and bang on it, and, you know, that's just emotionalism. But there are moments, and this is why sensitivity to a spirit is so important to us, that you just know what God is asking for next. Barak, to bow before the Lord. Let's move to the next one. This one, let me spell it out for you. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. My interpretation of it is Telhillah. Some Hebrew scholar probably would slap me up the back of my head and say, that's not what it said. But this type of praise is about singing. This is a praise about singing. Psalms 22:3 says this, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Enthroned in the praises of Israel. But that praise that is referenced there is a reference to singing. But this is not just any singing, all right? This is not just any old singing. There's a difference between the corporate songs we sing, but how many of you have found yourself just singing to the Lord? That is what this reference is. The song of the heart, not the song that is written on the page. And many times in worship, and maybe some of it has to do with coming from a musical background. It doesn't really have to. What's in your heart, you know, you just begin to sing to the Lord. You know, I've been in some services years ago, and it pains me to say it, years ago, where people would just begin to sing spontaneously unto the Lord. You know, just putting words together, singing melodies that just came from their heart. That is a type of praise that is recognized in Scripture as being significant and important. And I want to show something to you why this is also important, because there's another reference in Psalms 33:1, which says this, let the godly sing for joy to the Lord, for it is fitting. It is, and I like that word, it is fitting for the pure to praise Him. Now, this is what this basically means. When we sing unto the Lord, when in something it is fitting, it literally makes us look good to God. It makes us look good to God when we begin to praise Him in this fashion. When we start to sing songs about Him, remember what we said? We want to sing songs about God. We want to sing songs to God, about Him. What are some of the things that come from us when we are in this place? You start thinking, singing about what you're thankful for. You start singing to Him about what you're hopeful for. You start singing to Him about His promises. Now, for some of us, this may never be a type of worship that we will enter into, but I would suggest this to you. In your own personal prayer time, experiment with it. Experiment with worshiping the Lord in a song. You don't have to be a songwriter. You don't have to be David. All you have to do is be a believer who loves Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You're so good to me. I want to thank you today, Lord, that I woke up. I want to thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. You know, just, the Bible talks about when we praise and worship, it's like rivers of living water that begin to bubble up inside of you. You know, we are so consumed with trouble. We are so consumed with what we don't have. We're so consumed with whatever anxiety is torturing us at that moment. And God has given us a way to put it down. You know what it is? It's praise and worship. Anxiety cannot sit next to praise and worship. Boy, man, I just gave you a prophetic word. You need to grab that one. I gave myself one. That was God. Thank you, Lord. I needed that word right there. Anxiety and fear cannot sit in the same presence as the presence of the Lord. It just drives it away. Now, does it make it change or go away? No. What it does do, this is something I'm learning. When I praise and worship the Lord, I am able to step back and look at the giant that I'm facing and look at it objectively and look at it with prayerfully and look at it as there is a possibility that solutions are here. Let me give you an example. You're sitting there in a financial mess and you become a praise and worshiper of the Lord. Instead of you throwing your hands up, you know, sometimes people get themselves in financial messes and you know what they do? They just ignore it. And you know what happens? It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse until it just caves in on you. But when you are praising and worshiping the Lord, instead of it becoming something that you just can't face and you just, and you ignore it. No, now you say, God, I don't know how, but I need you because the scripture says that the righteous steps, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So you know what? I'm going into my checkbook as a righteous man, and you're going to order my steps to teach me what I need to do. They can't. That's good stuff. All right, let's keep moving. It makes you look good. Here's the fifth one. Z-A-M-A-R. Zamar. Now, what is this one? This one is something that we're all familiar with. Everybody, grab your hands. Do this. Ready? What happens when sports teams start to come out? A lot of times they... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. What are they doing? They're getting themselves psyched up for battle. Yeah. Yeah. There's something about that clapping of the hands, but it's and let me give you the reference, because that is just a personal way that we can participate in this form of worship. Go to Psalms 150, read the whole Psalms. Every reference to praise in that psalm is this word zamar. Literally means to pluck the strings, to celebrate in song and music. It is probably the most common form of praise that we have around the world. It's just singing. It's just singing songs that have been put to music. We've been blessed. We have some of the most wonderful songs that are being written right now. You know, I listen and it's not just today. We've been blessed since the beginning of time. When people get anointed songwriters sit down, I mean, you can go all the way back to some of the great hymns, How Great Thou Art, Amazing Grace, bringing them on up into modern times. What's that one that I like all the time there, that Chris Tomlin one I always make you play? How Great Is Our God? Yeah, that song. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Ooh, my goodness. The Hillsong songs that we sing, you know, you name them. There's songs at different times in your life have had such personal meaning to you. And that even today you can listen, you'll hear it and you go, oh man, that's an old one. But boy, I remember how much that used to touch my life. And those songs are wonderful. And it's important that we have them. This means the literal singing of a song. But what we also do is we again can participate as the clapping of hands. They call this what? The 10-string instrument. So if you have no musical talent, you can learn to clap your hands. You know, I remember in the old church, we'd clap our hands and we'd beat on tambourines. Sometimes it's amazing. There'll be these great songs playing, and I'll look around, and everybody's just kind of standing there. I'm like, come on, man, clap. Clap your hands. Enjoy it. You know something that happens when you clap your hands? The rest of your body starts to move with it. All right, I'm gonna move quickly here because I want to get through these last two. The sixth. And this one is one, and I'm going to deal a little bit with this, but here, let me give you the spelling, H-A-L-A-L, to halal, the Lord, in worship. This word is where we get our word hallelujah from. It literally means praise the Lord, but even more literal, its meaning is to be clamorously foolish unto the Lord. Now, how many of you guys remember an instance in the Old Testament where a certain king got a little nuts and started dancing like a wild man through the streets of Jerusalem? What was he doing? He was halaling the Lord. He was in a state of what others would say, he's acting foolish. But let's think about why he was so overcome with passion. Why? The presence of the Lord was what? Was returning to Israel. And he knew that if the presence of the Lord was with Israel, they were okay. And so out of that state, he began to just dance. And this is where dance comes in our services. Now, here's one of the kickers to this. As we have gotten more and more control in service, and our services have become much more structured and formulated, we have become so worried about what people think that some of the praise and worship that God put into the church and made an instrumental part of our worship services, we've rejected it. Because why? We want to look cool. Now, there is a balance here. I've been in services that they weren't halalin'. They were working, they brought Friday night's moves from the club to Sunday morning service. I only want to go there. I remember some services years ago where I remember this one young guy, man. He said he was full of the Spirit, and he ran over three old ladies. No. That's not right. But at the same time, I was talking to somebody recently, and she was sharing a situation where a woman in her church began to be very, you know, overcome with the presence of the Lord and began to worship him and a bit of a raised voice, and they came over and told her to be quiet, and she was very offended. And I wanted to say to her, well, you should have been offended, because when you push something down long enough, what happens? It leaves. There's balance to this, guys. There's balance. I'm encouraging you to be foolish in front of the Lord. But I am also reminding you of Scripture that says to do everything in decent and in order. So jumping over pews, probably not a good idea. The Lord starts to move you, and you can't help it. You have to move, go for it. Popping the guy next to you because you're so full of Jesus. No, that's probably not a good idea. Dancing before the Lord, getting past your pride. Sometimes God, you know, the Lord just he takes you to that spot because he's working on you. He's working on some of your own personal pride issues. He figures, you know what? If you'll get foolish in front of me, and foolish in front of your fellow believers, we might be about ready to get a breakthrough here. David demonstrates this. I want to say this to you. Remember I said there's 299 references in the Old Testament to the word praise? 100 of them are about halaling the Lord. of those 299 times, and remember, we have seven different ones that we're using here, one of them takes up 100 of the 299 times. So obviously, this is something that happened a lot in the Old Testament. All right, here we are. Let's hit the last one. Shabak. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. What does Shabak mean? Very simply, it means this: to address in a loud tone. It's typically associated with freedom or of triumph. It's more than just a loud shout. It's about putting everything you have into worship. This is an attitude of wholehearted worship. Psalms 63, verses 3 and 4 says this: your unfailing love is better than life itself, and how I praise you. Look at what the reference. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. The psalmist is writing about his unfailing love is better than life itself. And then he uses the phrase praise. How I praise. How I shabak you. I will praise you. I will shabak you as long as I lifting my hands in prayer. What he is saying here is that this is a praise where you are so grateful that his love is better than life that you just give everything you have. You know, this kind of reserved, and we're all different. Please bear with me a little bit in this. Not all of us are boisterous, outgoing personalities. Not all of us are demonstrative in some large way. But again, I go back to it's a heart issue. When you're worshiping the Lord, if this is all that you do, just to, you know, you're quietly singing and worshiping Him, but you know you're putting everything you have into talking to your God, then God's going to be praised. And I will tell you this, you can be the loudest guy in the room, but if that doesn't really signify that you're putting everything you have into it, then, you know, you're just what the Bible says, a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. How do you know that when you come into a service that you're giving God everything in that worship? There's only one way. You live it every day of your life. Praise and worship, and this is part of the problem that we have in the modern church today. It's being turned on and turned off every time we come into a service. We turn it on Sunday morning. We turn it off on Sunday afternoon. But when we're living a life of praise and worship, when you're driving into work and you turn off the radio or you turn it to something where you can get some nourishment, when you spend more time with God than you do on Facebook, when you spend more time, you know, you have to work, all of us do. But what are you doing with your free moments? Add up the amount of hours you'll watch TV this week. Compare it to the amount of time you'll spend with God. We all need to have fun. We all need to have enjoyment. We all need to have rest, times of rest. But if we are not worshiping the Lord on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, when we come into our meetings and we expect the meeting to get us where we need to go, oh, we're already behind the gun. When we come in and we say, Brazzy, get me into the presence of the Lord because I've had a really rough week. Is that fair? No. When you've been going into the presence of the Lord and going into the presence of the Lord, you may have had a rough week and you're just going to come into service and you're going to go, oh, finally, I got to worship with a my other brothers and sisters who probably have had rough weeks too, and our collective voices and our collective praise and worship, God is going to come and he's going to fill us today. And I just know that God is going to bring encouragement to my brothers and my sisters so we can go back out into the work week and we can be overcomers and victorious. That's what it's about. And I'm going to give him everything. And maybe sometimes we are just overcome and somebody just has to, you know, I think I heard Ressie worshiping today and just out of what was in her heart, and you know what? It was perfect. What was she doing? She was shabbaking the Lord. Just coming from, this means something to me. Let me stop. These are steps of worship, okay? Maybe some of you have never heard these before. Maybe for some of you, it's taken you back a few years and you're going, oh yeah, I remember hearing these. I remember this. These are important things. When you come into service, if you know what worship and praise and worship looks like, then you'll know what it doesn't look like. You'll know what Scripture requires of us. What Scripture is asking of us. Don't look to your brother or your sister next to you and expect them to be a worshiper and praiser of the Lord. No, look to yourself. Every one of us being responsible for our own. The Bible says we must all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So you know what? I'm going to come into service and I'm going to come in with my heart open to the Lord. I'm going to be cognizant of my responsibility to you as fellow travelers in this faith, that I have a responsibility to you to be ready to worship, to be ready to praise. Maybe today it's not my day for a miracle and it's your day for a miracle. But I want to be right in there. I want to be inviting the Holy Spirit in so that, man, when it happens, I can sit there and say, oh, look what the Lord did for him. Look what the Lord did for her. Oh, he's so good. Amen. And when we have that type of heart, it may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but God will get around to me in due season. Amen? Praise God. Is this good? Are we learning some things? How many of us want to be true worshipers of the Lord? True worshipers of the Lord. It's going to start the minute you walk out that door. The minute you get in your car. For some of you, you may get to the end of the driveway and you might already have trouble. You know, I've raised children and I've had the Holy Ghost knocked out of me before I even got out of the parking lot a few times. What do? Just start praising him. Praise your way out of depression. Praise your way out of struggles. Praise your way out of the mental torment. Amen. God's got some good stuff for us. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. And you know what? Why don't we just do this? Let's take about 30 seconds and let's end this service with a little bit of praise. What's ever in your heart, just give him some thanks right now. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you that you've met us in our meeting this morning, Lord. I thank you that you're meeting our needs. I thank you, Lord, that you're touching our homes. I thank you, Lord, that you're saving our children, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're encouraging our families, God. Father, I just want to give you the praise today and the glory for all that you've done. I want to thank you for your promises today, Lord. I want to thank you for the things that I've yet to see, but I know, God, that you have placed in my heart the promises, God, of better days, God, that the best is always in front, God. I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, and I worship you, Father. You're so good. You're so good to us, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you today, Father. I praise you today, oh God. Glory unto your name, O Lord. Glory unto the name of the Lord. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. The one that I serve, the one that I give my life to, the one that I turn all my ties over, all the days of my life, Lord, may you be in my life, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Great and mighty is my God. Great and mighty is he. He is greater than all of the things that I face. Lord, in the week to come, Lord, I know that you've got promises, oh God, for everything that is in front of me, Lord. God, I turn this week over to you, God, before I even get to it, Father, that you would be the Lord of my life, God. You would be the Lord of my Monday and the Lord of my Tuesday and the Lord of my Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, oh God. But you'd be the Lord on my job, God. When I'm dealing with trouble and struggles, and maybe that boss who I just don't get along with, God, you're going to give me strength, oh God, to be upright. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, you're going to bless us today. You're going to bless us this week, oh Lord. You're going to bless my home with your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. There's going to be peace in my house this week, oh God. I worship you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, you're so good to us. You're so good to me, Lord. You're so good to me. God, you're so good, beyond anything that I ever deserve, oh God. You're so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, praise your name, praise your name, praise your name, praise your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give them praise. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want more. Praise God. I want somebody just to give it just your best. I want you to just say this. God is good. Hallelujah. Oh, come. God is good. Yes. Amen. And his mercies endureth forever. Woo. Man. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, I tell you what. Man. Whew. See, you can start to feel. You feel. What you worship, what you praise is what you become. If you praise and worship God, you will become more and more like him. You have a choice this week what you're going to praise. You can praise the trouble that you're facing, or you can praise the God who can deliver you. You can worship the struggle you're in, or you can worship the God who can change it in an instant. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I'm about ready to get going again. So let's stop. Father, in your name, for this church, for its people, I pray that the blessings of the Lord would be mighty upon them. That God, that we would be encouraged in our soul and encouraged in our hearts, God, to give you everything that we have, God. Father, for my brothers and my sisters, for young and old, for the children to the grandparents, Father, may the presence of the Lord infiltrate every part of us. May we be like that scripture. May we praise you with all of who we are. And God, where we're not, may conviction come so that change can come. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for this people. I thank you for being part of this body of believers. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is so good. You guys have a great day, and we'll see you next weekend. Men, I hope to see you on Saturday. Make sure you sign up for the men's.